This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on the Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, June 11th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. One of the biggest sports weekends of the year this past weekend will start Saturday night down in Miami, Game 7, Celtics at the Heat. You kind of like the Heat, home court advantage, etc., but the Celtics came out firing, up 7 at the half, seemed to have a really good chance, was in control of the game, but Miami, and give them a lot of credit, not only tied up the game after 3, Boston still with a small lead with 8 minutes left in the game, and Miami just steamrolled Boston the final 8 minutes. Doc Rivers said after the game he thought his guys just ran out of gas. James was unbelievable. Heat 101, Celtics 88. They did get some help from other guys. Chris Bosh was the star of the game, certainly. 8 for 10 from the field, 3 for 4 from 3, 19 points, 8 rebounds. And every time Boston took the lead or made a run to come close late, it was Bosh with threes or jumpers, a couple of drives. Who really was the difference. There were other heroes as well. Again, James, 31 points, 12 rebounds. Dwayne Wade, 23 and 6, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. But it was Chris Bosh and his reemergence in his third game back. Now, Doc Rivers correctly said after the game, Bosh hadn't made three threes in the game all year, in the playoffs or the regular season. He is not a very good three-point shooter, but you got to give him credit. Saturday night in the biggest game of the year, he hit them. And I think, essentially, Doc Rivers said, well, you know, we like Bosh taking threes. He didn't come out and say that, but I think what he said was normally he doesn't make those, or he makes 1 out of 3. I don't think he's any more. I know last year he was in the 20s as a three-point shooter. But in any event, Heat 101, Celtics 88. Heat got contributions from all over the place. I mean, to me, one of the biggest stories of the day was Battier, 4 for 9 from 3 for 12 points. So, as you know, that's like shooting 6 for 9 from the field. LeBron, 9 for 21 for 31. Wade, 8 for 17 for 23. But Bosh was the man. 8 for 10, 3 for 4 from 3, 19 and 8. For Boston, Rondo was good but not great. He took 22 shots, very unusual. But Pierce was only 7 for 18. Rondo, 10 for 22, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. What can you say about this guy? I'll say it again. It's not the big three in Rondo. It's Rondo, and then comes the big three. Pierce with 19 and 4 rebounds. Bass was very good, 6 for 8 from the field, 16 points, 5 rebounds. Ray Allen got better as the series went along, but wasn't vintage Ray Allen. 5 for 11 for 15 points, 3 rebounds. Garnett, 14 and 7. I think you would have liked a little more production out of him, but I think Doc Rivers was right. I mean, just down the stretch, in transition, James was unstoppable. Bosh was hitting shots. Whenever they went to the basket and dropped it off to Bosh, he made the shot. Wade was very good. I mean, they're very, very tough, but they do need, it's not the big two, they need Bosh desperately, and I'll say it again, they need a contribution from somebody. Yesterday it was Battier with 4 threes. But Mike Miller didn't hit a 3, and Jones didn't hit a 3. They're going to need that kind of contribution. I think in the finals against Oklahoma City, Mario Chalmers is a big part of it. So we'll have to see. Oklahoma City does have home court advantage. They've also changed to the 2-3-2 structure, which I think helps Oklahoma City, not Miami. But the Heat in a big Game 7 at home in a game they had to win. Can you imagine if they didn't make the NBA Finals this year? The critics would have been crawling all over LeBron James. And again, I'm not a James fan. I don't think he was the MVP. He's the best player. He's the most talented player in the NBA. But I don't think he was the MVP for Miami this year. You know, when you have days when Wade scores 40, or Bosch does what he did, Bosch was the MVP yesterday. Hard to be on a star-studded team like that and be the MVP. But James gets the job done. He was monstrous in Game 6. He was excellent in Game 7. Both wins, one on the road in Boston. And that's what he had to be, and he was. Heat 101, Celtics 88. The final now, Oklahoma City's been waiting. Starts tomorrow. First two games in Oklahoma City, Tuesday, Thursday. Heat at Oklahoma City. I like the Heat to win the championship. I picked an Oklahoma City Heat final. Not that that's any big deal. A lot of people did. I like the Heat in the final. I believe that young Oklahoma City, they're climbing that next step in the ladder every year. First the playoffs. Then the second round. Last year, Dallas in the conference finals. Dallas had climbed their own ladder to finally win a championship by beating the Heat, who hadn't been there before. So I do believe in that. Can Oklahoma City win? Absolutely. And while everyone's saying it all depends on LeBron, I think a lot of it depends on Russell Westbrook. Because you know Miami's big three is going to be real good, and you know Durant and Harden are going to be real good. You don't know what Westbrook's going to be. I don't care who you are. Westbrook could go 30 and 10. He could also shoot, you know, 7 for 22. And I think he's going to be really hyped up. Now, obviously, Oklahoma City much younger, much faster, much more athletic than the Celtics. But the Heat are pretty athletic themselves. I think Chalmers is a key also. I think he came of age in the playoffs last year. And I think he'll be fine. There's not pressure on Chalmers and Battier and Jones and Miller to score. There's not pressure on them to score, but one of them has to do it. They've got the big three now. Looks like Bosch is healthy. Haslam was a quiet 3-for-4, 7.6 rebounds. He shot better in the playoffs. He was a poor shooter all year. He's better than that and is showing it now. But they need a contribution from Battier or from Miller or from Jones. Battier, the most likely person, obviously, played 38 minutes last night, hit Saturday night, hit four threes. So it shapes up to be a very interesting final. You know, right now, Scott Brooks, the Oklahoma City coach, is the coach of the playoffs to me. He put that cephalosha on Tony Parker after San Antonio had an easy two-game lead against Oklahoma City. And cephalosha changed the way the series was played. Parker became good, not great. And I thought that changed the whole series. You can talk about all the changes that any coach has made in the playoffs this year. I think the number one change was Scott Brooks putting cephalosha on Parker. I think it changed that series. And again, Parker was good, not great. So that was a key defensive change. That turned the series around. Most of us thought San Antonio was too old and Boston was too old, and both of them almost pulled it off. So you tip your caps to both of them. But they didn't, and now it's the final that I think most people expected. I think Oklahoma City is going to be the slight favorite. They do have home court advantage, 2-3-2. Home court advantage is a big deal because you can't see Miami beating them three in a row in Miami. So Miami has to steal one, get two out of three in Miami, and then I think it'll be game six for them. Hard to believe they can beat Oklahoma City in a game seven. Can they? Yes, but it'll be very difficult. Could Boston beat Miami in a game seven in Miami? Absolutely, but they didn't. In fact, they had the lead with 8 minutes to go. So fascinating NBA playoffs, a strange season, the, you know, short, clustered 66-game season. And you would have thought it did hurt teams like San Antonio and Boston. And San Antonio was relatively healthy for the playoffs, Boston not so much. Ray Allen had that ankle. But Boston put up a great fight. Doc Rivers very emotional after the game. You don't know who's coming back next year. Pierce has a contract. I mean, of the big three. Don't know what Garnett's doing. Don't know what Ray Allen's doing. You would think Boston wants to get younger. They're going to make one more run with the... I don't even call them the big four. I think Rondo's passed all of them today now as a player. Rondo and the big three, are they all going to come back? Don't know. Remember they talked about training Rondo during the year? Hard to believe they'll train him now. Yeah, he's a little flighty. Yeah, he's a little up and down. Yeah, he's a little emotional, but he's one of the best players in the NBA. I mean, he puts up triple-doubles that other point guards, no matter how good they are, can't imagine. He's that good. If he works on his outside shot a little more, he'll be even better. I think Jason Kidd with a jump shot, and Kidd was able later in his career, not in his prime, but later in his career to develop a pretty good jump shot, which he did not have when he was a younger star point guard. So Boston's going to be a factor next year. You'll have to see who comes back. Can they get younger? Can they get better? Will they bring back Allen? Will they bring back Garnett? Do these guys want to play another year? Obviously, it's hard. But we'll just have to see. Heat 101, Celtics 88. Heat play Oklahoma City in the finals. Oklahoma City tomorrow night, game one. And again, I think the 2-3-2 is a big deal. I'd like Miami more. I'm picking Miami. I'd like Miami more if it was 2-2-1-1-1. A lot of pressure on the team without home court advantage, the Heat, to win those three games in the middle. And it's very, very hard to beat Oklahoma City. I don't care where you're playing. Oklahoma City, Miami, a schoolyard. Hard to beat Oklahoma City three games in a row. They're that talented. And for Oklahoma City, a lot will depend on their big men. Ibaka was great. Perkins, championship experience, was very good. Very interesting series, the series everybody wanted. A lot of people are focusing on Durant against LeBron. And they're the superstars, and you should focus on them, but I don't think they're going to be the deciding guys. I think it's going to come from other guys. And I think, again, when you look at the big six, the big three on each team, I think it's Westbrook, frankly, who's the X factor, who's the wild card. Westbrook at his best steps right in and plays with all those guys. But Westbrook at his worst is, 8-for-23 turnover machine. And you know he's going to be sky high in game one. I think they're going to have to, Miami's going to have to try and steal game one. Oklahoma's had a good rest. A lot of people say it's going to take a game for Miami to get used to Oklahoma City speed, and that might be true. But you can look at it the opposite way. It's going to take a game for Oklahoma City to get back to game playing shape in the series they've been in, the finals. The Heat were in the finals last year. And people criticize the Heat for losing that, but don't forget Dallas had Tyson Chandler and J.J. Barea, which is why they weren't a championship contender this year. They didn't have those two guys. Dallas had climbed that ladder. And I was happy that they won last year, frankly. Almost a lifetime achievement award for Dirk Nowitzki. But Miami had no training camp together. You'll recall Wade was hurt. I think the three of them played 3 minutes together in the preseason. They started off 9-8, and then they rolled to the NBA Finals. So I actually thought that was a good year for them last year. But everybody wants to criticize LeBron and the decision, and I agree, the decision was beyond stupid. But I think this year the Heat get over the top. But certainly Oklahoma City has a great chance and the home court advantage. And as I said, they'll be the slight favorite. This is Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. rate. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this national health insurance hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the health insurance hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR, HVAC upgrade and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card.
Call
877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Switch briefly to the NHL over the weekend now. The Devils making a series of this. I certainly thought they were done. Los Angeles went off to that quick 3-0 lead. Devils beat them in Game 4, then in Game 5 Saturday night. Jonathan Quick, who has been the MVP to date, made a terrible mistake. If you saw the game, got a puck to the right of his net, tried to flick it off the backboard and around to the other side of the net, but Parisi was waiting there. The angle that Quick took with the shooting the puck off the backboard behind the net was a terrible one. Came to Parisi, who was somehow able to get it out in front of the net. He was parallel to the goal. Actually right next to the goal, I should say, and he was able to bring it out just in front of the net and stuff it in before Quick could get there and just before he was checked from behind. Zach Parise, an unbelievable goal, his eighth goal of the playoffs, his first point of the finals, and it was a quick mistake that gave him, Jonathan Quick, the goalie mistake that gave New Jersey the lead. Justin Williams did tie up the game with his fourth of the playoffs for Los Angeles, but then Bryce Salvador, what a story he is. The Devils defenseman who did not score a goal all year now scores his fourth goal of the playoffs. What a turnaround that is. And again, he just did what you're supposed to do. Threw the puck towards the net. A couple of guys in front of the net bounced off somebody on the Kings and obviously deflected and went past Jonathan Quick. Can't really blame him on that goal. You certainly can blame him for the first one. New Jersey 2, Los Angeles 1. Kings with 26 shots on goal. The Devils with only 19, but they got the job done. 2-1 New Jersey. Los Angeles leads the Stanley Cup Finals 3-2. I'm sure you've heard the stat now. Only one team in the history of the NHL in the Stanley Cup Finals has come back from 3-0 down. The 1942 Toronto Maple Leafs. Very, very interesting now because for Game 6, they go back to Los Angeles, and Los Angeles actually has been unbeatable on the road, as you know. They finally lost when they lost Game 5, was their first loss in the playoffs, four rounds. I think they were like 11-1. I mean, it's just stunning what they've done, maybe 10-1. And the Devils beat Los Angeles in New Jersey. And now they go back to Los Angeles to Game 6. And if they can win that game, if the Devils win that game and go back to New Jersey for Game 7, I mean, Barry Melrose has already said on ESPN that all the momentum has shifted to the New Jersey Devils. So now I think it's so important, happened to the Rangers, it's so important who scores first. The Devils have scored first in the last two games. So Jersey 2, Los Angeles 1. Los Angeles leads in games, 3-2. But they certainly hear footsteps, and the footsteps are the New Jersey Devils coming. And certainly now you enter a new kind of pressure, if you will. Again, Los Angeles, 8th seed, dominate through the playoffs, roll off 3 in a row against the Devils. No pressure. But now Game 1, not a big deal. When they lose their first game, Game 4. They lose their second game, Game 5. Now there's a lot of pressure. Because you have to think if it goes back to Game 7 in New Jersey, you got to like the Devils. So I think this is the game tonight. We'll get to the TV later. But this is the game tonight in Los Angeles that the Los Angeles Kings need to win. Kind of hard to believe. You know, we talked about climbing the ladder for in the NBA. Well, Los Angeles looked like they were going to make a mockery of that theory, and they still might if they win the Stanley Cup because they've rolled through these playoffs as a number 8 seed. But now the Devils, they have the experience. They have Martin Brodeur. Parisi scoring. Kovalchuk did have an empty net goal, but he did score the other day. this has really turned into a series. I would think you still have to like the Kings to win, but what New Jersey has done, and this is what the Devils do, they stay the course. You got to like their coach, Peter DeBoer. I'm a Ranger guy, but I think he's a pretty good coach. Certainly keeps his head. It was interesting because he was asked, did it give you motivation that after 3-0, essentially the Kings thought they were going to win game four? Very interesting. And not go back to New Jersey for game five? And DeBoer said, yeah, when you see 10 stretch limos lined up outside the arena, because that's going to be for the celebratory We Won the Stanley Cup party. When you see those 10 limos when you're coming in on the bus to play the game, he said, yeah, absolutely, that gave the Devils some impetus to even play better, which is pretty interesting. You know, you'll hear the old, well, they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. They need more stuff to have them play their best. But I understand what he's saying, and I think you do too. It's just that little extra oomph, that little, we've got the champagne on ice already because it's only a matter of time. Now, poof. Kings are ahead 3-2, looking at a Game 6 in their building, that if they lose, they'll be looking at a Game 7 on the road in New Jersey. And as you know, and as Brodeur said, this is the first time they're not, like, taking the bus 100 miles. Because everything in the East was, of course, up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Now they're flying cross-country, so that's a long flight if you're a loser and you have to have thoughts creep into your head. That's what's going to happen to the Kings if they don't win Game 6. Devils 2, Los Angeles 1, Bryce Salvador gets the winner on a slap shot from the blue line that deflects in, pass quick, off of a Kings defenseman. 3-2, Los Angeles, game 6 tonight in Los Angeles. A lot of miscellaneous stuff going on over the weekend. You know about I'll have another was the late scratch from the Belmont. Lots of rumors about that, but apparently he did have a bad tendon. According to virtually everybody, it was a legitimate injury. You know, the naysayers and the racing haters saying that Doug O'Neill, the trainer, had given his horse drugs and didn't want to come up positive in the detention barn. There's no proof of that, but, you know, a lot of these guys are just, frankly, under suspicion. But Union Rags comes up the rail to win the Belmont. Frankly, not a very impressive Belmont. Painter whacked it out, got caught in the final strides. Bob Baffert's horses, Bodie Meister in the Derby and Preakness, Painter in the Belmont, all cut the miles, all finished second. But Union Rags wins the Belmont from Michael Matz, who trained Barbaro to the Kentucky Derby victory before he broke down in the Preakness. So give him credit, but the time was 2 minutes 30 seconds. You know, to give you a sense, Secretary had set the record 2 minutes 24 seconds. A second is generally about 5 lengths, so he would have been 30 lengths behind Secretariat. Secretariat, as you know, won the Belmont by 31 lengths. So, yes, it's impressive to win a Triple Crown race, but certainly he just hugged the rail, Union Rags, the whole time and just got up in the final strides to beat Painter. Give him his due. He won a Triple Crown race, but it certainly wasn't impressive. Dullahan, the other favorite, just failed to fire. You know, they showed an ISO on him after the race, and it looked like he did have to check at one point, and maybe that's what made him lose all chance, but he finished a disappointing seventh. So Union Rags wins the Belmont. Also with John Velasquez, first-time rider. Velasquez, a great rider, not a good rider, also a New York rider. So that was an advantage as well. But all he did was hug the rail, and I'm not making light of that. He hugged the rail and came up the rail just to get up in time. Painter was giant to just get beaten a mile and a half. A few other things. This Manny Pacquiao fight is the decision. Timothy Bradley won a split decision. Everybody who was at the fight, who scored the fight, everybody said Pacquiao won, but he didn't. And again, boxing, you know, I've said this for years for what it's worth. How can you have a sport where you don't know what the scoring is? Pacquiao, even if he was winning tremendously on everybody's card, if he wasn't winning on the judges' cards, he would have at least known it and maybe could have done something about it. And then a lot of people say this all the time. Now there's an automatic rematch on November 10th. But Pacquiao, who may or may not get the greatest payday ever with Floyd Mayweather, look, he got $26 million for Saturday night, so does he really care? he loses to Timothy Bradley in a split decision. People are calling for an investigation. Again, this is the problem with boxing forever. And I never understood, even when I was a kid, how can they not show you the score after every round? 10-9, that's how they score them, 10-9. You know, how can you not show the score? I've never understood that about boxing. And unfortunately, then you get decisions like this, which has been uniformly trashed by virtually everybody. Teddy Atlas said it was a conspiracy, a crime. The Larry Letterman on HBO and the ESPN boxing writer, I think they had it like 10 rounds to 2 for Pacquiao or 11 rounds to 1 for Pacquiao. I mean, that's just a lopsided, as lopsided as you can be. But Timothy Bradley somehow gets the vote from two judges and gets the win. Split decision victory over Manny Pacquiao in Las Vegas, Nevada, which has its own connotation, of course, right or wrong. But there will be a rematch now. Pacquiao already has asked for it and will get it on November 10th. And you got to think Pacquiao is going to kill this guy on November 10th. I don't mean that literally, but really go out of his way to beat him up now. A few other things. The French Open ended today, this morning. Nadal against Djokovic. Nadal, of course, the arguably the greatest clay court guy ever, wins his 7th French Open at Roland Garros Stadium. He is now 52-1. Djokovic had his own 27-match win streak in Grand Slam events snapped. Of course, he beat Nadal at the French. But it was Nadal 6-4, 6-3. It was a rain delay during that second set. He lost the third set to Djokovic 6-2. But then the game was suspended when he was up 2-1, when he and Nadal was up 2-1. They finished it this morning in France. Nadal wins the fourth set 6-4 to win his 7th French Open title. Rafi Nadal now has 11 overall Grand Slams, which ties him with the great Bjorn Borg. Nadal wins in 4 sets over number 1 Novak Djokovic. In the women's, Maria Sharapova on Saturday won the French Open. She's now the 10th woman in the history of tennis to have that career Grand Slam. And give her credit, because it was a 3-year journey for her. So it's Nadal and Sharapova who win the French Open. A few other things going on. PGA St. Jude Classic, obviously the U.S. Open starts this Thursday, so this is the final tune-up, if you will, for the U.S. Open, won by Dustin Johnson. So he's coming into the U.S. Open playing well. Tiger Woods took the week off. As you know, he won the week before. A lot of people think he's going to make his comeback now. I'm certainly not one of them. But Tiger Woods certainly for the first time looked like Tiger Woods when he won 2 weekends ago. And he'll certainly still looking for majors, looking for his 15th, trying to catch Jack Nicklaus at 18 or pass him at 19. So the U.S. Open starts Thursday. You can see those first two rounds or a lot of it on ESPN. And again, the golf gets, especially at major time, gets incredible extended coverage. Again, I don't think Tiger Woods can ever duplicate the way it was for him mentally, back when he was Tiger Woods, back when he was virtually the favorite to win every major, back when he would routinely win a couple of majors every year. I don't think he can duplicate that. I do think he can win a major once in a while. I don't think he's getting to 19. But now that he won 2 weeks ago for the second time this year, he won Arnie Palmer's tournament, he won Jack Nicklaus's Memorial out in Dublin, Ohio, 2 weekends ago. A lot of people are jumping back on the Tiger bandwagon, and we'll just have to see how that shakes out this week at the U.S. Open. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right?
Hands in.
Palm slots, pay lots.
Palm slots, pay lots. Palm slots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
This is WWE Superstar The Big Show.
This is Edge.
This is Stacey Keebler.
What up? This is John Cena. You're logged on.
We're logged on.
And you're logged on to Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk Network.com. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few other miscellaneous notes before we get to the baseball. Well, it's actually college baseball. If you watch it all, the College World Series, and we'll get into it when it gets actually into the World Series. But a number four seed, Stony Brook, went down to LSU, won their regional, went down to LSU for a super regional. The way they do the college baseball is they have 16 four-team tournaments, so they have 64 teams, like in basketball. I know basketball is 65 now, but you get the point. And whoever wins those 16 regionals, the higher eight seeds are the home team, and the lower eight seeds go on the road to play a best of three at the home field of the higher seed. So in this case, Stony Brook, little-known Long Island Stony Brook, a four seed who won their four-team tournament, went on the road to play LSU, six-time national champion, and heavily favored at LSU. And Stony Brook beat LSU 2 out of 3. They beat them 7-2 yesterday to get to the College World Series. They only trailed once, and that was when LSU had a walk-off hit to beat Stony Brook. But Stony Brook came back. They obviously have good pitching. They took 2 out of 3. And the analogy is it would be like a 13 seed in basketball making the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament. So give Stony Brook a lot of credit. Their manager, Matt Senk, has done a wonderful job. I don't know how much noise they can make in the World Series, but it's a minor miracle that they're there. Andy Pettit caught a ball barehanded. We'll get into Mets and Yankees also in a couple minutes. Andy Pettit caught a ground ball back to the mound. Pitchers stupidly do this. I understand it's a natural reaction. They can't help themselves. But he barehanded the ball in the sixth inning, threw the guy out. They came out and looked at the hand. He threw a couple of pitches. He stayed in for two more batters the rest of the inning, and then he came out. X-rays on that left hand were negative. He's expected to make his next start. But really, you'd like to see your pitchers have the I don't want to say intelligence. Andy Pettit is an intelligent guy. But to fight off that natural instinct to grab for the ball, you'd like to see them never grab for a ball with their bare hand that's hit back to the box. If they have to come in and pick up a bunt off the ground or a slow rolling grounder, that's different. But a hard one hopper back to the box can really hurt a guy. But Andy Pettit came out of the game. The Yankees came back to win, and he supposedly will make his next start. A couple of notes in the legal world. Opening statements today in the Jerry Sandusky trial in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. Of course, Sandusky, the former Penn State assistant who is facing 52 counts of essentially deviant sexual behavior for what he allegedly has done to little boys. People expect the trial to go something like 6 to 8 weeks. 8 of the victims will testify against Sandusky. Now, again, I hate to say it this way, but it's the truth. This trial has lost a lot of its national publicity because Joe Paterno, who lost his job because of this, who was fired because of this, because Paterno died in January, I think a lot of the national attention has moved away, which is sad because you really have to focus on these crimes of sexual abuse against young kids, in this case boys, really has to be looked at and really has to be taken care of. Obviously, the Catholic Church has been accused and has, I think, spent and paid hundreds of millions of dollars first to defend itself and then oftentimes to pay victims and settlements. It's a national disgrace what's happened. It's coming out more and more in high schools and colleges. There was a front-page article in the New York Times Sunday Magazine this week, front cover story of the New York Times Sunday Magazine about a private high school in New York, one of those elite high schools where this had gone on for years, apparently. And you really have to be careful if you have children because you just never know if you, well, you don't want to ever put your kids in that position. You don't want to get sucked into by a coach who's a little too friendly. It's a kind of a hard, frankly, line to draw, but you have to draw it if you're the parent. But Sandusky, that trial starts today in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. And at the same time, the Roger Clemens perjury trial, there's a good chance that the defense will rest today and the jury might get the case probably tomorrow after closing statements. That also has been, that has been an 8-week trial. And I think the government has scored a lot of points. I think on the defense's case, Rusty Hardin and his, Clemens main lawyer and guys helping him out on the defense have scored some points, but I just have a sense, and it's based more on tweets from Newsday and the Daily News in the courtroom, that the government has shown enough to get Roger Clemens convicted on something. And according to the judge, from the first mistrial, he essentially said, look, if this guy gets convicted, you know me, he's going to jail. So that doesn't bode well for Roger Clemens unless he gets a full acquittal. And we'll have to wait and see. Again, that might go to the jury, I think, tomorrow, closing statements. I think the last witness today and then closing statements. So the jury might very well get the case as early as tomorrow. Let's move on to the baseball now. A number of fascinating series. You know, interleague play, I was against interleague play when it started. I like the World Series to be the only interleague play. Over the years, you know, it's become an interesting thing. I think a team like the Mets really gets the shaft every year because they wind up playing the Yankees 6 games because of that natural rivalry. And invariably, the Mets playing 6 games against the Yankees is not equal to what other teams in their division or the National League wind up playing, because the Yankees are virtually always a playoff team, always a top 2 or 3 team in the American League. And while it is a good rivalry, I think it's true that the Mets get the shaft. They have to play the Yankees 6 times in a couple of weeks. And it kind of proved to be true this weekend. The Yankees sweep the Mets all 3 games. Now, they came in with similar records. Nobody's going to say the Mets are as good as the Yankees, but the Yankees sweep the Mets. You know, Johan Santana, they gave him, the schedule really didn't work out well for Santana because if they had given him 1 extra day of rest, that would have been this past Thursday, but it was an off day for the Mets. So they wound up giving him 2 extra days of rest, and he pitched on Friday against the Yankees, first time since his historic, you have to admit it, first time in 8,020 regular season games and all their playoff games than a New York Met pitcher had pitched a no-hitter. And Santana did it against the Cardinals. He didn't do it against some bum offense. But Santana was just no good on Friday. Terry Collins, took the blame, tried to take the pressure off Santana, said Santana was rusty because he was pitching a week later. Instead of with 4 days rest, he had 6 days rest. But he gave up four home runs in, I think, the first three innings, including two to Robinson Cano. He also gave up three home runs to three batters. Swisher was doing that dance in the dugout that made the Met fans crazy. But the Yankees hammered the Mets 9-1 on Saturday, beat them 4-2 on Friday, beat them 4-2 on Saturday, mainly at Teixeira, two-run homer, the main blow, and then came back to beat them. You know, the Mets were winning 3-0, but Jeter being Jeter hits a infield single that goes past the shortstop that he turns into, I don't think they gave him a double, but Jeter on a ball that was maybe 10 feet into the outfield grass turned it into getting to second base. I think they gave Jeter a hit and then an error on the shortstop. Teixeira then singled him home. A-Rod with a bloop single down the line singled Teixeira home. And after Soriano blew the save on an Ike Davis double, good to see Ike Davis get a big hit, to tie the game at 4 in the top of the ninth, Russell Martin leads off the bottom of the ninth with his second home run of the game. A game winner, game ender, walk off, whatever you want to call it. Yankees 5, Mets 4. Those two home runs for Russell Martin were his seventh and eighth of the year. He's starting to come around after having a pretty bad start. Now, Joe Girardi did say it seemed like he was hitting line drives all year, but they were all being caught. Well, they didn't catch the two that he hit yesterday because they went out of the ballpark. He's only hitting .216, but he does have 8 home runs. He now has 20 RBIs after getting 3 yesterday. Yankees 5, Mets 4. Mets were up 3-0. Yankees scored 2 in the 7th, 2 in the 8th, and 1 in the 9th after the Mets tied up in the top of the 9th to get the win. The Mets, they're going to have their problems now. You know, Jason Bay's back. He was 0 for the weekend. I think he was 0 for 11. Ike Davis did get that hit yesterday, but he's been terrible. They really don't have a whole lot of offense. Their pitching has been good. But the Mets dropped to 32-29 after losing 3 in a row, and it doesn't get any easier. They go to Tampa Bay, and I know one of the two games there they get David Price. So that's a big problem for the Mets. The Yankees, of course, now going the right way, 34-25 after winning their 3 in a row from the Mets. They're a half a game out of first place. Jeter's been in a little bit of a free fall offensively. He's down to .317. You recall he was in the low 400s. You knew he was going to drop. I don't know if you knew he'd drop 80 points in a month, but still having a very good year. Granderson only hitting .250. Teixeira only hitting .250. A-Rod only hitting .270. You know, they don't have a 300 hitter in the lineup other than Derek Jeter. For the Mets, you know, what can they say? They just don't have a lineup. Bay hitting .197 after going 0 for 11. Other than David Wright, who's having an unbelievable season, hitting .354. You know, Hairston's been very good home run wise as a part-time player, hitting .288, got 2 hits yesterday. But, you know, Rotino's playing first. They put him in instead of Ike. He's hitting .185. Davis got the pinch hit. He's hitting .167. Nicky is the catcher, only hitting .130. Valdespin, the second baseman, hitting .150. It's going to be hard for the Mets to keep it up. I think we discussed them early in the year. If all things go right for the Mets, well, you know, I thought they'd be a 500 team, and for the most part, things have gone right. But Yankees 5, Mets 4, Yankees arrow pointing up in the AL East, Mets arrow pointing down in the NL East. Doesn't get easier for the Mets. They go to Tampa Bay now. A few other interleague games. In NL East, AL East had to be the best of the interleague games by far. I mean, you had two teams who last week, two divisions, the AL East and the NL East, who last week every team was over 500, which is obviously very unusual. But yesterday, Baltimore, and you got to give Buck a lot of credit. I don't think they can win that division. I think it's too tough. But Baltimore beats Philadelphia, Baltimore 5, Phillies 4. I mean, a very exciting game. Baltimore wins it in the 10th inning on a Matt Wieters game-winning RBI double up the gap in right center. Tolleson hits his second home run of the year, a three-run homer for Baltimore. Cliff Lee, and you know, it's true. Cliff Lee hasn't won a game. His ERA is 3.18, and it's true. He certainly should have a few wins by now. It's also true that he just has given up one pitch, one home run every game. He's had leads, 3-0 last game, 4-1 yesterday. He gave up a three-run homer to Tolleson to tie up the game in the bottom of the fourth after he had a 4-1 lead. Orioles go on to win it in 10. Orioles 5, Phillies 4. Again, Phillies 4 games under 500 now. They're at the bottom of the NL East, and, you know, they don't have a right side of their infield. They don't have Halliday. I think they're obviously in trouble. One other interesting interleague game between AL East and ML and NL East. The Nationals sweep the Red Sox in Boston. Stunning to me. Nationals 4, Red Sox 3. David Ortiz having a heck of a year. And, you know, everybody thought he was done like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. But yesterday, Ortiz 3-for-4 with a home run. He's batting 308 with 14 home runs and 38 RBIs. I mean, that's pretty stunning statistics for a guy who's supposed to be washed up. But not enough as the Nationals, and if you saw how they won, Bryce Harper came in as a pinch runner and scored from first to win the game on a Roger Bernardini double to right center. That was the winning run. They scored it in the top of the ninth. And then the Red Sox were unable to score in the bottom of the ninth as Tyler Clippert came in to get the save. His eighth of the year for the Nationals. Gorzolani gets the win in relief. He's 2-1. Aceves again takes the loss. He's 0-4 with a 4.99 ERA. Obviously, they don't have a closer. Boston does not have a closer. But Espinosa, 2-for-4, 2 RBIs and a run scored. Ian Desmond, 2-for-4. He's batting .266. Espinosa was the hitting star, as was Bernardini for the Nationals. After the game, Bobby Valentine said, quote, good umpires had a real bad series, close quote. Also, quote, there should be a review, close quote. But again, the frustration kicks in when you have a team like the Nationals, a very good team, a first-place team, but when they come into Fenway and sweep your guys 3 in a row, well, that's a really big problem. And Bobby Valentine obviously was not happy. A few other interleague matchups to get to, and we'll get to the standings also. Detroit comes back from 6-3 down to Cincinnati at Cincinnati against Aroldis Chapman, of all people. You know, the guy who throws 100 miles an hour. Detroit comes all the way back to win the game. Detroit 7, Cincinnati 6. It was just amazing because this guy does throw 100. He's very hard to score runs off of. But with a 6-3 lead, Brendan Bosch single to right, couple of walks. Matt Young gets hit with the bases loaded for an RBI. Austin Jackson turns and doubles down the left field line for 2 more RBIs to tie up the game. Then a 4-pitch walk drives in what proves to be the winning run, Detroit 7, Cincinnati 6. The Angels in Colorado beat Colorado 10-8. Angels now have 9 straight road wins. Mark Trumbo with 2 home runs, his 13th and 14th of the year, and 6 RBIs, a career high. Carlos Gonzalez hits his 16th home run for Colorado. Angels going the right way. Angels 10, Colorado 8. Pujols hit a home run over the weekend, his 9th of the year. So I guess you can say he's kind of coming back, but he's still hitting like in the 230s, so he certainly has a way to go. Tim Lincecum having his troubles. His ERA up to 6. He loses to Texas yesterday. Texas 5. San Francisco 0. The Giants are 2-11 when Lincecum starts. So obviously, you know, just not the year he'd hope to have. He said it's the execution of his pitches. This happens with the with Tim Lincecum, frankly, from time to time, where he just can't seem to get it together, and he certainly couldn't get it together yesterday. Lincecum gets bombed. His ERA is now 6. Only 3 starting pitchers have a higher ERA. Kinsler had a double, bases clearing double, three RBIs for Texas. And Hamilton had a two RBI double. That accounts for the five runs that Texas had. Texas 5, San Francisco nothing. Lincecum gets the loss. Tampa Bay beats Miami, big game. James Shields, 6 1/3, only one run. Miami 0-6 on their present homestand, another up-and-down team who was expected to be at the top of the NL East. Tampa Bay 4, Miami 2, Elliot Johnson with a big two-run home run, his fourth of the year. Tampa Bay first place in the AL East. Pittsburgh, yes, Pittsburgh tied for first. Beats Kansas City 3-2. A.J. Burnett wins his fifth game in a row. He's now 6-2. And if you ever watched him in New York, you knew he had stuff. He just couldn't do it for some reason in New York. But yesterday against Kansas City, 7 1/3, six strikeouts, two earned runs. Andrew McCutchen having another all-star season. Gets his 11th home run of the year and also gets three RBIs. So now when you talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates, you do have to stay the first-place Pittsburgh Pirates because they are actually tied. We'll get to the standings in a minute. One other game, Cleveland on a Jason Kipnis three-run homer late. Beat St. Louis. Cleveland 4, St. Louis 1. Kipnis hits his 10th of the year. The only St. Louis run, Carlos Beltran. You got to wonder what the Mets are thinking now. Beltran hits his 18th of the year. He leads the National League in home runs. And frankly, they haven't really missed Albert Pujols that much. Especially when you have a guy like Beltran coming in hitting 18 home runs. In the AL East, Tampa Bay 35-25, first place. The Yankees a half a game out, Baltimore a game out, Toronto 4 out, Boston under 500, the only team in the AL East, 29-31, 6 games out. The White Sox, who have been incredibly, went on that incredible streak. They're 17-9 on the road, a fantastic road record. They're in first place in the Central, a half a game in front of Cleveland. Detroit, who you think should get into the mix, 28-32, 5 out. Already Kansas City and Minnesota way back, 8 games or more. Yes, it's early, but you don't expect them to make a run. Texas 35-26, 3 games up on the somewhat revitalized Angels. Seattle and Oakland already dipping out of it early on in the season. Over in the NL East, again, a very competitive division. Washington 35-23, the second best record in baseball. Leads Atlanta by 2 games, leads the Mets by 4.5, and it's very sad for the Mets. They're in a bad streak now. They're going to have a lot of trouble at Tampa. They're 4.5 out. Miami, despite losing 6 in a row, 31-29, 5 games out. And Philadelphia in last place, 29-33, 8 games out. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh tied for the lead in the Central at 32-27. St. Louis at 31-32, games out. Milwaukee, 28-32, 4.5 out. Then it's getting far back already to Houston and the Chicago Cubs, and the Cubs are 20-40. What can you say? I mean, just a disaster in Chicago again. We'll see if Theo Epstein can turn it around. Dodgers' best record in baseball still 39-22, 6.39 win percentage, 7-3 in their last 10, 21-9 at home, 18-13 on the road. Fantastic numbers. They lead the Giants by 5 games. Giants 34-27. Arizona at 500, trying to get in the mix, 8.5 out. But Colorado 24-35, 14 out. San Diego just terrible, 20-41. 19 out. They're out of it already, Colorado and San Diego. But the Dodgers, I think, Mattingly manager of the year right now. You know, I've spoken up for Terry Collins. We'll have to see what happens to the Mets. They're in a very difficult situation right now. The TV tonight, the main event, Devils at Kings out in Los Angeles, 8 o'clock Eastern. Obviously 500 on the coast. That's on National League at NBC. Yankees at the Braves on the YES Network. If you get that, 7 o'clock, still interleague. Red Sox down at Miami, 7 o'clock. That should be an interesting game. Two teams coming off losing streaks. They play 7 o'clock Eastern. That's on ESPN. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.